You know where the Bible says, man of God that preaches must be partakers too? Have you ever heard the preacher say, you got to get out of your comfort zone? We're getting out of our comfort zone tonight, because right here is my comfort zone. But we got to do some things tonight. I want to talk a little bit with you. I want to talk a little bit about the saints of God that used to go here. And I want to point out where they sat and tell you a little bit about them. The saints of God has always been very precious to me. I pray this message is something good and helpful and encouraging to each one of us. But if you look back here, usually Sister Ogle sitting back here, and there used to be a little sister sitting there named Sister Edna Nice. And Sister Nice was very dear to me. I met Sister Nice when I started mowing her grass. And we got to talk and visit with her. And she was very special to me. I learned a lot of things from that sister. And the one thing I learned about that sister was she was a prayer warrior. She could pray. You would go there and visit, and it may take 2 hours to mow grass, and you spend 4 or 5 hours with her. But when you left, you had prayer with her. And it didn't matter if you was inside that house and you kneeled at that couch, and she started praying. It's like that roof just opened up, and there was a connection with God there. She could speak things that you speak to God that just I'd never seen before in my life. And it didn't matter where you were sitting at. If you was in the house at the couch, if you was in the garage, or if you're sitting out in the driveway in a chair, when it's time to leave, we had prayer. And I'm not talking just a 5-minute prayer. This sister would pray. And then she'd want me to pray. And you know, have you ever been in a driveway kneeling down on your chair while the traffic's going by and you're having prayer? How many would do that here in their neighborhoods? How many would sit and pray in their neighborhoods? It's almost difficult. She's very special. She's very special. But she could get a hold of God. And you know something? Let me tell you how she got it, how the power she had with prayer. She prayed one time. There was a couple who was coming to church, used to come to church here years ago, and they got away from God. And she prayed. She said, Brother Presley, I may be blind, and I can't do nothing, but I can pray. She goes, all I can do is pray for them. And she prayed and prayed. About 2 weeks later, I went over to visit her, and she was like a little girl, giddy. She was all excited. She wanted to tell me something. I said, what happened? She said, you know the people I wanted to witness to? And I couldn't go to them. God brought them to me. She got a chance to pray with them. And then sitting down the road there from Sister Nice was Sister Brother Ogle. Brother Ogle was a sweet man. Anybody know Brother Ogle? He smiled. He was always happy. I'd never seen a smile off his face. He was a worker in the kingdom of God. If there was work needed done, he was there to do it. Never complained. Never complained or griped about what he had to do. He was always there. He loved his family, but he loved God more than anything else, and he worked for the Lord. How many here is workers like that? How many here, when work day comes along, pick me, what do you want me to do? Give me the hardest job. How many of us is willing to do that? Then a little brother used to sit right here. I believe it was just where Sister Kitty sat, and I used to sit behind him. Little brother was dear to me, Brother Harry Craig. Oh, he was a sweetheart. He was a gem, a treasure. I used to come in early just to talk to him. And, you know, being a new Christian, he gave us some pearls of wisdom. And the one thing I remembered about Brother Harry was his faith in God. He reminds me of Stephen in the 6th chapter of Acts, 5th verse. It says, full of faith. He had faith. He used to tell me story after story, but the one story really stuck out to me more than anything else he told me to show where his faith was. He said his wife came to him, and they didn't have no food. She said, honey, I ain't got nothing to fix the kids. He said, we better go to prayer. So him and her went to prayer. They kneeled at the couch and started praying. And God told him, get up, start walking. His wife said, where are you going? He said, I don't know. God told me to walk. So he headed out the door. Down the road he goes. He said, and he's listening to every step. God said, turn here. So he turned. Turn there. He'd go there. And the way he described to me, he went through town, ended up on the other side, outskirts of town. On a road. Now you got to understand, this is back a lot of years ago. The roads was probably dirt by then. Wasn't kept. And he said, God said, stop, now turn left. Well, there's no road there, just a little path where people have been going in and out, he said. And so he said, God told him to go down the path. So he walks down the path, and God said, stop. So he stopped. He said, look down. There was a dollar bill laying right there. God talked to his heart. God knew that dollar bill was there, and he took Brother Harry. Now, what really got me is that story. He said he went and bought 90 cents worth of groceries. And he went home, his wife said, what's the other 10 cents for? He says, that's tithe. And I thought, wow. He had no more money. They just went without food, and he had to trust God, and he was still going to pay his tithes. How many of us have a difficult time paying tithes when God's still abundantly blessing every single one of us? He was a strong man of God in faith. And then right in this little section here, there's a little sweet sister named Sister Green. And all these saints, something stands out about them to me. She was married to Brother Charlie Green, set up there. He's helped the Brother Decker for many years. One thing stands out, she was a meek and quiet spirit. She never caused no problems, never raised up a cane or, you know, nothing. She was just so quiet. She was a homemaker. She was a support to Brother Charlie and his ministry. She was there. How many sisters have that meek and quiet spirit tonight? We're checking ourselves tonight. How many has that meek and quiet spirit? How many is a support to their husbands? Or how many don't ain't a support? They want to fuss when the husband makes a decision. Can't be doing that. And then her husband, Brother Charlie, oh, sweetheart. And the one thing that stands about him more than anything else to me, he was full of love. He was full of love. It didn't matter whether he was preaching, whether he was singing, or whether he's talking to you. You just felt love flowing from him. He loved everybody. It didn't matter what the person done to him. It didn't matter what they said to him. He still loved them. He came to me one time. He had received a nasty letter. He wanted to talk to me and asked me, "You didn't send it, did you, Russ?" "No. You know, I didn't send it." He said, "I that's good." He said, "I want to talk to them. I want to try to work this." He was loved them. They just sent him a nasty letter. He was trying to get it worked out because he cared. He loved them that much. And I wonder, how is our love tonight? How is our love tonight? Is our love the way it should be? Do we love? It's easy to love our family. How about the ones that run us in the ground? How about our people that treat us wrong or talk about us wrong? People that done things to us. Do we truly love them? If we love them, we're not going to treat them bad. We're going to treat them right. We're going to treat them like God would treat them. You think of Jesus on the cross. They beat him. They spit on him. They buffeted him. And he still loved them. No matter what, he still loved them. And then you take this section over here. Well, as I got to think of the next person, he used to sit there. He used to sit there, and sometimes he sat up there. And we all miss him, Brother Gordon. Brother Gordon was a man. Oh, we all know the story how he got healed when he's in his 30s. And I love hearing that story. It's like Paul got better every time he told it. How he was prayed there, and he jumped right on top, and how his feet was whole again. And he started running. And we know he never stopped running until he got ill at the end there. He kept right on moving for the Lord. Praising God, shouting, celebrating what God's done for him. Not just the healing, but salvation in itself. I thought about that. How many of us really appreciate what God's done for us? How many of us are to the point where we want to let others know? We want to stand and raise our hand and say, "Thank the Lord for saving me." And I got to think, why don't we? It's up to us. God's done the work for us. God has blessed us. It's up to us whether we make that choice or not. The devil, we are the only ones keeping us from celebrating what God's done for us. And then over on this side over here, a sweet sister. Sister Cummings knows her. Sister Faye Green. Oh, such a sweetheart. And I'll never forget her praising God with that little handkerchief. Swinging around. Now, sister may correct me. The story I heard, that was anointed when she was a little girl. A baby. She was sick. And they anointed it. And she got healed. I'm 80 some years old when she passed away. She still had that. That was her memento, what God has done for her. And she wasn't afraid to get up and let God, everybody know about it. These are saints of God that used to walk through these doors, service after service after service. And what did they do? They was pillars. They was pillars in the church of God. They was ones that we should want to emulate. We should want to be like. And you know, at Sister Lillian Meyer's funeral, I sat back here, and they had the thing all done up here. Over right here, they had a picture, or a screen with pictures being shot on it, looped around, showing Brother Jimmy and Sister Lillian, and the kids, and things like that. I got to look at that picture, and some pictures. Brother Jimmy's gone. Sister Lillian has passed away. You start thinking about all the others had left. And a song came to me. And it ain't a good song. A song I used to listen to 2 years ago. But it really spoke to me. And the question was, who's going to fill their shoes? Who is going to take their place? You know? The first verse of that talks about there's many singers, but few are chosen. And I thought, there's many sinners in this world, but we're chosen. The Bible says we're a chosen people. It tells you in Matthew 22:14, few or many are called, but few are chosen. We're chosen. We have something to celebrate. We have something to celebrate. But who's going to take their place? Who's going to take their place? And as we look out around the crowd, service after service, I see some in here, everybody's getting older. There's going to be some that's going to leave this world. And I thought about the young people that sit here. Who's going to take their place? Who's going to step into their shoes? We got to be prepared to step into these shoes. Are you prepared to be a prayer warrior? Is your prayer that good that you can just step into the prayer warrior's shoes? How about a worker for the kingdom of God? A help. Are you in a position spiritually where you could be a help in the kingdom of God? That Brother Decker says, I need someone to clean the toilets. Pick me. I'm ready to go. How about faith? Are you in such a spiritual condition that your faith is right there? When you pray, you know. You be like Brother Harry, gets up and goes. Is your faith that strong? It can be. How about Sister Green? The meek and quiet spirit. Do we need help with that? Do we need some strength in that? Maybe we're lacking in that spirit. How about Brother Charlie? Full of love. Full of love. Do you love everybody? You say everybody? Everybody. The Bible tells us to love our enemies. It even comes right down to the Muslim you walk down the street with. Even though we disagree, even though they're noted for being bad, do we love them? Do we love them? I said once before a long time ago, this poor Bin Laden was killed. That means even him. Anybody that talks about our family, do you love them? Anybody that talks about the church, do you love them? Anybody that's left the congregation, do you love them? We love everybody. Brother Charlie did. That's the way we need to be. How about Brother Gordon and Sister Green? How about praising God? Do we praise God like we should? Let's be honest with you. Do we really praise God like we should? Do we celebrate what God's done for us? If we celebrate what God's done for us, it'd be a little louder. It'd be a lot more praising going on. I love camp meeting. I don't know about anybody. I love camp meeting. Praising going on. My kids said, I ain't seen that in a long time. Praising God will get the glory of God to come even down more. It'll get the glory of God even come down even more. So let's go ahead and get in some thoughts the Lord's given us. These are just some of the saints of God that have walked these doors, and there's many, many more you could talk about. But as we get started, turn over to 2 Kings, 2nd chapter. Second Kings, the 2nd chapter. Start reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Drop down to verse number 9. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, my father, and the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Here's the story of Elijah being taken up into heaven. And we know Elijah was a powerful man of God. He was used mightily of God. Through his word spoken, or through God's word spoken by him, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. The rain just stopped up. 1 Kings 17:1, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before who I stand, there shall not be a dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. We know God loved him, that he took care of him, and had the ravens feed him. That's a good a man of God that's close to God. 1 Kings 17:6, and the ravens brought bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Thank the Lord, God knew how to take care of him. We know in 1 Kings 17:7 that the brook dried up. But if you go to 1 Kings 17:10, start reading there. 17:10, 1 Kings 17:10. Let's build it. 1 Kings 17:10. It says, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in. Dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel mill shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel mill wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto by Elijah. God used him to help a little widow woman, and at the same time fed Elijah. And he continued to take care of Elijah. The mill did not waste. The oil did not run out. Why was that? God had his hand in the whole thing. Elijah was a great man of God. Then in verse 17, you find out that the widow woman's son fell sick and died. If you go to verse 21 and 22, God used Elijah to raise up her son from death. And what did the little woman say at that time? Verse 24, she says, and the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. 1 Kings 18 starts out and lets us know how long the land was without rain. It's the third year. 3 years it went without rain. And most of us know this chapter as he stood against Baal, the 450 prophets of Baal, and how God worked through him in turning Israel back to God with just a simple little prayer. Elijah touched the heart of God. James 5:16 tells us, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He was a great man of God. Elijah was a great man of God. There's many men of God in the Bible. David, Paul, Peter, Moses, Joshua, Job, Daniel, Barnabas, Abraham, Joseph, John, etc., etc., etc. Many great men of God were in the Bible. But if you go back to our text, these men of God, well, these men of God didn't last. Someone had to take their place. Just like someone has to take the ones of the past, the saints of God, and the ones that, hate to say it this way, the ones that will pass in the future, someone's got to take their place. Are we in a position spiritually to fill them shoes? Are we? 2 Kings 2:1 says, we start at, and find out that Elijah was going to be taken up by a whirlwind. We all have an appointed time, saints. We're all going to die, and someone's going to have to take our place. In verse 2 of that chapter, he told Elijah to tarry where he was, but Elijah refused. Why was that? He knew that Elijah was leaving. He knew. And he didn't want to leave him. He wanted to stay with him as long as he could. The next several verses speaks of where they traveled and people telling Elisha how Elijah was going to be taken away. Verse 9, Elijah told Elijah to ask what he shall do to him. After he got to the point, Elijah knew it was getting close. He told Elijah, ask what you will. And what did Elijah say? He said, give me a double portion of your spirit. Give me a double portion. These same saints I spoke of, Sister Nice, prayer warrior, Brother Ogle, a worker, Brother Harry Craig, a faith, Sister Green, a meek and quiet spirit, Brother Green, full of love, Sister Faye Green, and Brother Gordon, praising God. Why are they that away? It's the spirit they had. They loved God. They had the spirit of God. They wanted more of that spirit. They wanted more of what God had for them. And it just kept drawing them closer and closer. Elijah said in verse number 10 of that same chapter, he said, "You ask a hard thing." He said, "Give me double portion." He said, "You're asking a hard thing, Elisha." He said, "But if you see me go, then you'll get it." He wasn't talking it was hard for God. Nothing's hard for God. But when we ask for a double portion, there's going to be things that's going to affect us. There's going to be some harder spots to go through. He was asking for two times what Elijah had. So he's going to get double also the trouble from time to time. Double also the heartaches from time to time. But at the same time, he's still got two times the Spirit. You know, the more we want God, we want to be a powerhouse in the church of God. We want to leave shoes for others to fill that's godly, spiritually godly. Then we're going to have some hard places to go through. But it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. Verse 11 tells us Elijah was taken up by a whirlwind. Now for Elijah to receive a double portion of what Elijah had, two things had to happen here. First, he had to ask. He had to ask Elijah for a double portion. If anybody wants to be a powerhouse in the house of God, be used mightily of God, whether prayer warrior, praising God, if you truly want these things, you're going to have to ask. That's all there is to it. It's pretty simple. Ask, ye shall receive. We have to ask if we want anything of the Lord. If you want to be a prayer warrior, if you want faith like Brother Craig had, you got to ask for it. And the second thing found Elijah had to do to get a double portion, well, let's read verse 12 and 13 again. I'm in the wrong chapter. Anyways, he had to pick up the... Oh, boy, I tell you what, when you lose your mind, you're getting old. Mantle, thank you, sister. He had to pick up the mantle. He had to physically do something. Just like us. We can ask, but we're going to have to physically do some things too. You think Sister Nice was a prayer warrior just by saying, "I'm a prayer warrior"? No, she had to do some praying. You think Brother Harry Craig had faith and God worked miracles in his life because he just said, "Man, God can do it"? No, he had to work. He had to trust. He had something he had to do. And the list goes on and on. Sister Green, a meek and quiet spirit. You think that was easy? No, I'm sure it wasn't. We men ain't easy to live with. So she had to put forth effort sometimes, I'm sure. Just like Elisha had to pick up the mantle. We have some things to do too. Title of her message. Who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to fill your shoes? I want this to be a challenge for us tonight. Who's going to fill the shoes? And there's enough shoes to go around. As I said, there was many great men in the Bible. In our time, there's many great workers in the kingdom of God today. I started thinking about the ones that has passed on. The list goes on and on. It's sad in some way, but you know something? They've earned their reward. Yeah, they've earned it. These ones we spoke of earlier were workers in the kingdom. We still have workers today. And one day they're going to pass off the scene. And I said, young people, who's going to fill their shoes? I think when I started church here, you can look at the dining hall, for example, and see some faces that ain't there no more. Somebody had to fill their shoes. Somebody had to pick up the slack, so to speak, and take over. Every aspect of the church of God, there's Sunday school teachers that's going to need replaced down the road. Who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to fill their shoes? This is just a challenge tonight. We've talked about who's going to fill our shoes. Now we're going to get to the second half. I want to look on the flip side of things. What kind of shoes are you going to leave others to fill? See, we can say, "Oh, I'm going to fill them shoes. I'm going to fill them shoes." But what kind of shoes are we leaving? We're leaving something. We're leaving something behind. Philippians 3:7 says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." You see someone walking godly, high spiritually speaking, follow them. As long as there's no sin in their life, follow them. Paul said, follow me. Paul said, be followers together of me. What kind of example are you leaving? What kind of example are you leaving? How about your prayer life? We'll go right back down through the list again. Your prayer life. What kind of example are you leaving in your prayer life? Does people know you pray? Does your family know you pray? How about working? Working in the kingdom. Does everybody know you're a worker around here? Does everybody see that, oh yeah, that brother is a worker in the kingdom of God. That sister, she's always about Father's business. And we're not talking about ones that's unable. We're talking about some that's able. If you're able, are you a worker in the kingdom like you should be? If not, God can help you. How about your faith? How full is your faith? Your trust in God? Is it where it needs to be? If you prayed a prayer like Brother Craig prayed, needed food, could you get your prayer answered? Because what God did for him, God will do for anybody. Do you believe enough and have enough trust in God that whatever you pray for, God's able. He's able to do it. How about that meek and quiet spirit? How's your spirit, sisters? Is it where it needs to be? And on the flip side of that, you brothers, do you love your wives like you should? Do you make it hard on your wives to love you and have that meek and quiet spirit? How about praising God? Do we really praise God like we should? Do we really? You know, it's not an easy thing to stand up and raise your hand up. It's hard. You know why it's hard? This flesh don't want to do nothing that the Spirit wants you to do. It's hard. I'm not going to lie to you. It's hard to walk from there up to here. It's really hard to walk down there, take it from one night. It's hard. Anytime we do anything that God gets glory out of, it's going to be hard. But I'll just say this much. Even though it's hard, the more you do it, the more you trust in God. The more you know God's going to help you. That's why you tell, you know, I can't raise my hand. Well, raise it like this first. Before long, you'll see a hand up there. You might even see it standing up. You know, if you trust in God, God's able to help you. If he saved your soul, don't you think he can give you strength to do something for him? Say something for him? Shout praise the Lord? God is able to do all these things. 2 Thessalonians 3:9 says, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow. What kind of shoes are you leaving behind to fill? Paul said he's made himself an example. That means we are the same thing. See, I tell people, you know, we love to use that scripture. Jesus was our example in all things. And that is so true. And we like to say he's our example of how to treat people. He's our example of how to talk to people. He's our example of how to walk on this world. But we forget one thing. He's our example of how to be an example. He showed us he's an example. We got to be just like him. So we need to be examples to the world, to the saints of God also. Paul said, I make myself an example that you can follow us. We're making ourselves an example one way or the other. One way or the other. It may be a good example. It may be a bad example. But it's an example. We're an example to the world, our neighbors, our people we work with. You kids go back to school, you're going to be an example in the schools. They're going to watch you. They're going to read you. They're going to see every little flaw, and they're going to try to pick at you. But you don't have to worry about that if you're a godly example. There ain't no weapons formed against thee can prosper, the Bible tells us. So no matter what they say, if you're living right, don't worry about it. But if you're living wrong, and you're not a good example, you need to do something about that. You need to do something about that. We're an example to the world. But we're also an example to the church of God. See, we forget that. You hear so much about being an example to the world, but we are an example to each other also. People see how you treat each other. People see it. They see how nice you are to each other or how curt you are to each other. They see when you're late to church. or when you're late to Sunday school. They see those things. And you may not think nothing of it, but what's it doing? It's dampening their idea of your spirituality. You see people continue to come late. You know, it shows they're not, it's not important to come to church on time. It's not important. You know something? As I was studying this today, I thought, they want God to be on time every time they pray. They want God to be on time on the judgment day. They're going to want to go to heaven as fast as they can get there. But yeah, they come late. Service after service. Sunday school after Sunday school. One of the statements Brother Orr says, Sunday school, he says, let's get started so the rest of them show up. That's sad. Shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. We should have a desire to be in the house of God. Whether you think Sunday school is right or whether you think it's wrong, it's still part of church. We should have a desire to be here. You know, it shows where our heart's at. But people see you when you don't show up for church on time or when you're late. They see if you truly enjoy services or not. You say, what do you mean? They see if you pay attention during services. Not everybody takes notes, I know that. They see if you pay attention during services, or you're too busy sleeping, or you're playing on your cell phones, or you're doing all these things you shouldn't do, because that shows they're not important. It don't matter. I don't care who it is. If you're on your cell phone on Facebook, you're not really interested in church. We tell our kids, you ain't taking your phone. You don't get your phones turned on in church. Carry a Bible. You don't read your Bible. Because it shows how desirable you are for truth. You know, I explained it to my kids this way. If you're on your cell phone, if they're on their cell phone, and the message is going forth, it's just like God trying to talk to you, and you just saying, I'm not, turn your back on him. I don't want to listen. That's what you're saying to him. We're an example to each other, and we're leaving something behind for others to follow. It could be our neighbors. It could be ones that have come to church here. It could be our children. What kind of shoes are we leaving behind to fill? And speaking of children, I am no expert on raising them, that's for sure. But I'll give you what the God showed me and pointed out to me. Keep in mind what kind of shoes we as parents are leaving behind. We're leaving something behind for our children. Do our children know that God and living for God is the most important thing in our life? Do they really know that? Do they really see that, oh, mom and dad love going to church? They love it. Well, they don't only really love it there. They love it because they like going to revivals. They like doing this. They like visiting. They like this. Or some people may say, I make sure my kids get to church. That don't show them. That's something they should do. But it don't show them that you love God and love living for God. Going to church is necessary, and they should be made to come to church. They're in your house, come to church. But how dedicated to God and the work of God are we as parents? What kind of example are we leaving our children? Paul said, I make myself an example. You should follow us. Our children are following us. You say, oh, it's okay. Kids can make their own decision whether they want to come to church or not. Nay, nay, nay. Let me tell you something. Psychology, and yeah, whether you agree with it or not, there's a lot of good stuff in it. It'll prove to you that our eating habits are taught from our parents. I eat just like my dad ate. He would give Thanksgiving dinner, big old plate, eat, go in there, sleep for a half hour, wake up, he's starving to death. I thought it was hereditary. I was the same way. Starving to death. I could just have, but you know something? Our children learn from that, just our eating habits. How much greater do they learn whether they like God or not, love God or not? How much greater do they learn whether we want to come to church? Our kids should be made to come to church. It's necessary to make them come to church. As I told my kids, no decision. You're in my house, no decision. You're going. Why? It shows a desire to be where God's at. It's necessary to be in church. How about when worldly things get in the way of going to church? Like I say, what are we talking about? What kind of shoes are we leaving behind to follow, to fill? Signing up for overtime shows your kids what? Shows your kids money is more important than church. Money is more important than God. Your money's going to burn. Our soul is eternal. Showing them the importance is more important to make money than hearing from God. Oh, here comes a hard one. What about when family comes into town and you have a revival? You know, when we lived down in Tennessee for a while there, my mom and dad would come down to visit. It seemed like at the wrong time. But you know something? I told them, you're more welcome to come to church with us, but we're going to church. What's that show? That shows your family what's more important to you. I believe the story, I believe Brother Decker has told us many times, the story about Sister Decker. I love God more than I love you. I'm going to church. And that pricked his heart. A lot of people, well, family come in, well, we got to miss church because family's here. We don't want to offend them. Well, you know something? I'd rather have them offended here and possibly have a chance of seeing their soul saved than to wait till judgment when they're offended for eternity. When family come into town, church should come first. Why is church so important? It's where we meet God at. It's where we hear from God. Whether it's a message, whether it's a song, whether it's a testimony service, you hear from God somehow. And that's worth everything this world has to offer. What kind of shoes are you leaving behind to fill, saints? What happens when you put something before service? Shows our children that meeting with God is not as important as whatever else you're missing service for. Nothing is important besides meeting with God. What happens when sports get in the way? When revival comes along, they have practice every night. Ooh, what are we going to do? I can only tell you my experience. James plays soccer. I've let him play soccer for about 5 years now. But when he started, the rule was soccer's second. You have practice, you come into church. If you have a game, you're coming to church. It don't matter whether it's revival or not. And I hate to say it, God made it very difficult because he was always the best on the team. You had to tell the coach, he's not going to be there. He had to play a championship game. He about missed that this past year because church was more important. Church is the most important thing in this life. It's living for God, hearing from God is the most important thing. When we allow our kids to get so involved in extracurricular activities that sets them out of church, what are we showing them? Them things are more important. That's more important than hearing from God. And then we wonder why God ain't saved our kids. Do they miss practice or do they miss church? Sad to say, a lot of times they miss church or come dragging in late, half tired, wore out, not paying a little bit of attention. It's sad. We need to focus church, no matter what it is. Church, living for God, should be number one priority in our life, no matter what. No matter what. We're showing our kids an example one way or the other. We as parents need to show them that serving God is more important than sports, making money, or even our own family. Luke 14:26, we know this well. If any man come after me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brethren, his sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. If anything is before, these are the closest things to us on this world, our family. And if God says if they come first, you can't be his disciple, how much greater making money? How much greater sports? How much greater any other thing comes before God? You cannot be his disciple. We have to put God first in this life. We have to show our children in the world that God comes first. What kind of shoes are you going to leave behind to fill? What kind of shoes? That's a question we all got to answer. As we get ready to wind down, these saints of the past are gone. They were godly examples. They helped me through many, many circumstances of my life. But just watching them, just seeing how they lived, seeing what they was made up of was far more than anything they ever said. They was a big help in my life. We asked two questions tonight. Who is going to fill their shoes? Who is going to fill their shoes? Are you spiritual enough to fill these shoes? If a prayer warrior's shoes came empty, are you spiritual enough to fill them? If the church needed somebody that had full of love, is your love so great that you could fill that hole? How about if you need somebody with faith to pray for? Is your faith that strong that that prayer would be answered? That you could fill them shoes? How's your prayer life tonight, saints? How's your prayer life? How's your desire to work in the church? Camp meeting coming around. You got a desire? Can you hardly wait to work again? Could you be considered a helper like Brother Ogle was? That's a gift. It helps. How about your faith? Like Brother Craig? You sisters, how's your spirit? Like Sister Green? Or does it need some tweaking a little bit? God can help you attain that. How about the love Brother Charlie had? Do you have love like that? And lastly, and to some degree I think very important, how's your praise? How's your praise? Why is praise important in a congregation? It shows others how much we love God. Somebody comes in from the world and they see everybody just sitting still. What do they think? Well, they either don't like the preacher, he's boring, or they just don't like God. But when they see people jumping and shouting or standing on their feet praising God, yeah, we're not talking getting carried away, but there's nothing wrong with standing, just song going, just stand there. And just think of what God, good things God's done. There's nothing greater than a song goes forth that talks to your heart about the goodness of God. And you just got to stand on your feet and thank the Lord. Ain't nothing better than that. How's your praise tonight? Do you need courage to stand and praise God? God can give you that courage to step out. But if you want any of these things, you have to desire them. And you got to pick them up and you got to ask for them. You have a part to play. Matthew 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Who's going to fill their shoes tonight, saints? Who's going to fill their shoes? And who, what kind of shoes are you going to leave behind tonight? If you have a need, I pray it's been encouragement. It encourages my heart to know that the church of God is going to go on one way or the other. And it's either going to take us with it or it's going to leave us behind. So how is it tonight? Where's your spirituality when it comes to filling the shoes of the great saint of God's that went on before us? Could you fill them? If not, it'd be a good time to come down. Reconsecrate your life to him. He'll ask God to give me one of these things. Give me some of these things. There's nothing wrong with being greedy with God. I want faith. I want patience. There's nothing wrong with asking for more than one. But if you want something, it's there for the asking. Let us stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for everything you've done.